It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh my gosh. It's just cold again. Why am I surprised that it's winter in the Midwest?
Why do we live somewhere where the air hurts our face?
I don't know. Florida was really nice last week. Anyway, good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. It was great, actually.
Shut up.
I know.
And it's not even that warm down there.
No,
right now.
That's the thing.
They're all freezing.
It wasn't awesome, but from the Midwest perspective, it was amazing.
Tom calls and says,
You get north of 65 and you feel like you're just you know what I mean?
First of all, you're
playing with house money from a weather perspective.
40 degrees in Florida is much different than 40 degrees in Wisconsin. I don't care what you say. It doesn't feel as cold to someone from Wisconsin. Mm. But Tom calls last week and says, it's 60 down here and everybody's got their big fluffy winter coats on the golf course.
How much of that has to do with an overabundance of blood thinners?
Well, that's okay, what I'm
that
saying,
all those,
right?
That yeah. everyone's on down there that they're like, I mean, I literally was in 65 degree weather and Floridians were down there in Canadian goose down
right.
long jacket.
That's what he said.
And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
They broke out their puffy coats.
Well, they broke out the puffy coats because, you know what I mean? The meds have got them all thin skinned.
I'm like, it's 60. I'd be wearing a bathing suit
down there. Right. Anyway, not afraid of it. It's fine.
No, but it is freezing cold up here. It's okay unless the wind blows.
No. It's funny. It's just as we start the year, all these, we did on a couple shows ago, we talked about the 2025 trends.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Pittsburgh has their own trends.
I
thought it was worth mentioning that Pittsburgh Magazine also posted a don'ts of 2025.
Pittsburgh?
I don't know if it's just for Pittsburgh. Okay, that would be amazing. If it was just for Pittsburgh.
You can do this, but
But if you live in Scranton, it's a different set of rules.
Right?
I don't know. All I know is it was Pittsburgh Magazine. So they also have a disdain for Boucle. I thought I'd point that out. They also, lighter woods, death of the home office, right? I don't know. It's just interesting.
Death of the home office.
It's just like they're recycling the same stuff over and over, which is why I tell you to be very, very careful.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as you head into the new year. Are you de-Christmas? Everyone should officially be de-Christmased.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Because we knew that we were.
I mean, this is the weekend to
moving and all
this
that.
Is the weekend to de-Christmas, right?
I wasn't Christmased.
Oh, you weren't Christmased.
No, so that's this was an off year. It just was.
But your house is now official, so you're ready for your Victorian makeover.
Just wait.
Yeah, I'm excited to walk through it.
Christmas decor next year.
We'll be off the hook.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I can see you going absolutely just, you know how I feel about Christmas and holiday decorating?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when you can break a million rules and nobody cares.
Right.
You know, you can have a legion of elves hanging from every single light fixture and you're like, oh, that's cute. It's anything goes.
I have.
Except apparently tinsel at the Sassano household.
Tinsel.
I will never live down Tinselgate.
Ugh.
So.
I have a tree that I had in an old farmhouse that we lived in, and all it had on it was Victorian ornaments, and I still have all of that.
Man.
And I've never put it up because we didn't have a place. Well, I mean, it's big, and so I get to do that mm-hmm. next Christmas. Yeah, I'm really mm-hmm. excited.
You get to Christmas old school.
Yeah,
which is
we have lights with
so
the
much
big
more
bulbs
interesting.
And I mean, just the
yeah.
old stuff.
Did you have growing up? Did you have the bubble bulbs, the
yes.
classic ones that bubbled?
Yes, we have those too. Mm-hmm.
On a metallic Christmas tree, which is what my grandmother had. It looked like it was silver. It was caught between an evergreen and an antenna. I'm pretty sure they were picking up Russian troop movements in 1964 with this tree.
My mom had a white Christmas tree for a long time.
Oh yeah, that was very popular. Pink and blue ornaments.
On.
I don't know why we're talking about Christmas decor, but it just is. I was just wondering who it was de-Christmased.
Well, yeah, you should be. You're right.
You should be by now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not because we've been traveling and
well, you don't have a lot of time.
I honestly kind of I'm trying to hold on. It's not great. I'm just trying to hold on to that holiday spirit as long as I can.
Well, you can keep the spirit without the decor.
I know, but the year is off to just a torrid start. I mean, there's so many things going on, not only from an economic perspective and locally at the Design Coach. I mean, obviously, we're ready to really, really drive on our 2025 plan, including the opening of the vault, which is really, really exciting, and our expanded partnership with Wolf Sub-Zero and Cove, and you know, all of those fun things. I mean, I'm not overwhelmed, but it's like there's never a pot on the stove that doesn't, like, I cannot take my eye
right
off of anything right now to start the year. Like, it's just not possible. And it's interesting. I feel like there's a lot of people in that same boat, because, you know, obviously with a new election cycle and a new administration coming in, there's just a whole lot of
confidence.
Mm-hmm. of confidence, and there's also a lot of chatter, right, about, like, you know, exactly what does that mean? I mean,
regulation wise, it means
They're confident. Mm-hmm. I think people still want the clarity, and I think it's been interesting to see how everyone's sort of processing that. I think, right? Because, you know, in the end, I mean, listen, I'm about to give a speech, like a 5 to 7 minute speech here to a bunch of realtors for Compass this coming week,
mm-hmm.
and I'm speaking on a topic that I won't share it, because I don't want it, if anyone's listening, I kind of want it to be a surprise, but it has a little bit to do with the fact that you know, what is the concept of home, and who are the service professionals charged with bringing it home, the concept of home.
Right.
Bringing it home. And what does that really mean? I think, you know, there's a little bit of knowledge I'd like to bring to the airways today on what does it look like from the client's commitment to their own project that really holds them accountable to timeline, analysis, and review.
Mm-hmm.
What does the commitment look like from the professional side of things? You know, I think historically, you know, design and decoration has always been something that, unless you're in the middle of a remodel, has always been somewhat seen as a discretionary activity, like something you get to
right
when you have time, you decorate, you know, or some sort of move within your home, or something like Jerry Seinfeld said that our homes are basically large, prolonged garbage processing centers where you live in your home to eventually just crapify everything.
Right.
And then it's so funny to hear this bit, because he goes on to talk about how when things make it to the garage, they never make it back in.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah.
And then even more absurdly, we have storage facilities
uh-huh.
that house future garbage. That we're just unwilling to emotionally part with. Like, it's really interesting that if I were to tell you that interior design was as much about it's as much about the cosmetic, the aesthetic, and the construction as it is about the psychology. Maybe more about the psychology.
Oh, for sure it's about psychology.
You know?
Yeah.
I was likening the parallels between design professionals and realtors. In, you know, at any given moment where, like, sort of financial analysts meets you know, therapist. You know, and we're not just therapists between couples; we're like therapists between family members.
Right.
Right. Like, it's absolutely part of the job is the navigation of all of the relationships to bring people to great creative outcomes, and you know, that's something that the design coach we're trying to go next level, not only with our understanding but our practice of delivering those outcomes, especially when you weave in them the lifestyle outcome. Which is, how do you want to live in your space?
Right.
And getting involved in that arena, which has been, you know, which has been very interesting to see our team both embrace and learn what that means. You know, because it's not a space that most interior designers are involved in. They're not really in the lifestyle space. I mean, they might attend a party or plan a party here or there. But we're actively interested in helping the clients maintain the financial assets and maintain the design. You know, so that it lasts the test of time. And some of that is experiential, and a lot of that's maintenance related. So it's like, what's the balance point there? You know, as I begin to reset projects across the country, because that's what we've been embarking on, you know, for the better part of the month of January.
Yeah.
Nancy has really been like resetting, you know, resetting projects for the new year, how we'd like to run them a little differently, how we'd like to run them with a little bit closer more visibility and closer contact to what's happening on the ground on a daily basis. The training of my team, which has been, you know, what I've been focused on for the majority of last year, now it's about us just sort of diving in and doing. you know, just the diving in and doing, which feels really great.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of learning as they're doing versus, you know, learning and doing. It's sort of inverted,
yeah.
Which I think it's so great and a testament to their energy and effort. And a lot of, I would say, the relationships with the clients to sort of really understand what we're trying to achieve on the macro and on a larger scale to assist them and not necessarily, you know, get into, you know, what I think sometimes is like the granular nature of the delivery of things, mm-hmm. because it's like things happen and, you know, design and decoration and the delivery of the concept of home, which is what I want to talk about on today's show, requires an all hands on deck approach. And I don't think that we think of it that way. I think that we think of our homes as something that we decorate when we can get to it, that when we can afford it, we remodel. We're annoyed by maintenance and not realizing that maintenance is sort of like the gateway, right, to making sure that your design endures. And so therefore, sometimes we make really, really bad design decisions that we end up regretting down the road.
Because
we just bailed to something that was easy to maintain.
Right.
Versus something that was like really something we loved.
And not necessarily practical with regard to what your goal of use is.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go swimming in a silk swimsuit, you got a problem, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's like we obviously don't do things like that. But
yeah.
I think that
there's a lot of just bad decisions made.
Yeah. And I also think it's like, what does the concept of finer living mean? You know, like if you're after treating your interior like a one big jungle gym,
then you have a lot of
like
kids.
If your concept is I need to live in a bouncy house, right? then everything will be made of rubber.
Oh my God, that's so much.
Do you know what I'm saying? So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about like what is your expectation for the concept of home, and sometimes I feel like there's some disconnects there that I think we need to explore to start the year on today's show. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here. On Lake 96.1. I'm interested to get your read on a couple things on this, Nancy, because I think that there's this, and by the way, good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. I think there's a little bit of a, I don't know, let's just sort of start with this premise, okay? Let's just say everyone's concept of luxury is a little different.
Of course.
Right? And everyone's concept of home is intensely personal. What feels like home to me might not feel like home to you.
Right.
And the alignment of your plan, which is what we espouse on a regular basis here at The Design Coach, like not designing from the hip, but designing with a real plan so that you can execute it and eventually get to, even if you can't get to your dream home, you're getting to some semblance of dream interiors. I mean that's a very factual statement that you might not live in your dream home, but you can work on building dream interiors.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they might not be as big as you want them to be, but you'll be surprised when you make it a space that's beautiful that you enjoy. How much less you really need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right sizing of homes and right sizing of square footage is something that I'm fascinated watching social media these days, because I'm seeing the McMansion thing play out in coastal settings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was this mindset for a while in the Midwest called, you know, if you heard the term McMansion,
uh-huh.
It was like, you know, over, you know, a sort of overbuilt, wildly big foyers and a lot of square footage that just by the time you put the materials and you applied the decorative materials to them, you couldn't even afford to furnish your home.
Mm-hmm.
On some of these builds, you know, as it relates to just sort of creating the same, you know, oversized, overbuilt lot, almost like eating up the entire yard or footprint of the lot, you know, maximizing that. And, you know, because of tax dollars and how taxes are calculated based on square footage of a home, it was obviously within the municipality's best interest to maximize the lot within reason. But I'm sure that the maximizing of lots or the buildable area on a lot absolutely did add to the square footage counts of homes,
of
and then therefore added to the tax base. So just in some instances, not that I went all conspiracy theory real estate tax on everybody, but just follow the money sometimes. And I think it's really interesting that to watch the correlation.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, right?
It like, is. You know, yeah, follow the money.
And then mm-hmm. people are like, well, I wish I had more yard. Well, okay, well, don't build the 10,000 square foot house on the postage stamp lot. And
yeah.
You'd have been great.
Now, see, I don't. That just doesn't fit to me. That would never be a consideration to me.
Yeah, but I think it depends on the perspective, right? I mean, I think, you know, you go into these, so many clients go into these builds with really a lack of a plan. One that is just handed to them by the architect or the builder.
Yeah.
And then it's massaged by, you know, that entity versus really asking the question, how much space do I really need? I mean, we're finding a tremendous, we're finding a lot of really healthy, really balanced, really interesting conversations in the right sizing of plans.
Right.
I mean, I'll give you an example. I was, you know, there's all these real estate videos now for, you know, when you move down south, like you move to Florida and you move to a coastal home. And there's these really big exterior patios, which are very beautiful and very cool. And then there's these mammoth kitchens and there's these really big bar areas. I mean, I was watching this one video and here's what stuck out to me. The ceilings had to be a minimum of 12 feet high.
Okay.
And the bar area had cabinetry you couldn't even reach unless you had like a bucket, like almost like a telephone pole bucket truck. Like you couldn't reach those cabinets to save your life. No, I'm not kidding you. Like unless you had like a 13, 15, 18 foot A-frame ladder, you know, or what are those extension ladders where it's like kicking. No, the ones that you clean your gutter. Yeah, the one you clean your second floor windows with. Like you could literally not reach the cabinets. It was.
What's the point?
I mean, it was grand. I do absolutely understand the visual pop there, but as far as like the functionality goes, I was blown away by the fact that this bar area, which you know how much I love bars.
Right.
I mean, I love residential bars. This bar area had 4 stools and ceilings that were, you know, again, north of 12 feet, right? So you could only seat 4 at this bar. What were you planning on doing with all that storage? Like, were you leasing it? were you leasing it to neighbors for their storage? Because maybe they didn't have it? Like, what? What exactly was the design intent there? And I would love, you know, being in some of these conversations over 25 plus years, you know, the right sizing of a space to make sure you have adequate square footage has been interesting because this real estate agent toured into the bedrooms and the bedrooms you could barely fit nightstands in. Yet there was all of this space in like 6 to 8 foot hallways. I'm not kidding you. Like it was cavernous on the inside. Like it almost looked like a commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were walking into like some sort of like resort with mass. Like it was meant to hold like a party for 200.
Right.
I don't know how you do that with 4 seats at the bar.
Right.
That's an interesting way to get a drink. But so the disconnect is sort of like in the mindset of where we've proportioned the square footage is just one of the triggers that when I see social media, I'm instantly looking for those red flags because it's who's advising, right? I mean, where's the logic in how about if we make the bedrooms, right? Maybe 4 or 5 feet bigger, you're not going to feel the smaller living room. You know, what if we push that bar out and we actually seat more than 4 people at it, right? By the way,
like what's the point?
But by the way, who's advising you on the furniture as well? Like you're going to fill that space to do what? Bowl? Human bowl? Like what are you doing in that amount of space? Like
I don't know why it makes sense to people to have like you said, the word is disconnect.
Total disconnect. And I'm not exactly sure what the mindset is there. Like, I'm just wondering what the architectural case is. And I'm finding that the architectural case sometimes just isn't made.
Yeah.
You know, the homeowner looks at the plan and has trouble visualizing it on 2D, right? Flat.
Yeah.
Without somebody maybe really doing the homework on it. And, you know, maybe they are. Maybe that's what they wanted. But this was, I don't know if it's what they wanted because it was built on spec. So the house was for sale. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
wonder how long it took them to sell it.
I don't know, but I guess the point being, as we talk about this concept of home and really doing the homework that it takes to really come up with your personal definition, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what is the inception of that? Like where does that start? And as I mentioned earlier, the discretionary nature of decoration tends to be blurred with good design. Like, listen, layering your space over time and decorating can absolutely be something that you can do when your budget will allow and you know, at your whim. You can decorate to a certain extent without a timeline. And, you know, you do that all the time seasonally, right? You'll buy more stuff for the next holiday decorating, or you'll buy it on sale now for the next Christmas season, right?
Right. Like decorating isn't design.
No. And it's oftentimes muddled.
Yeah.
Right? Like the design is, a lot of times the way I would define it is the physical attributes of a space that can't be easily reworked.
Right.
The physical attributes of a space that cannot be easily reworked without a significant amount of remodeling,
right,
and contractor assistance, which is why we have to be very careful and really thoughtful in how we actually embed, you know, life's an understanding of lifestyle and an understanding of home in the contracting phase.
Can I ask this?
Sure.
I feel like as a mom and a grandma, mm-hmm, that when I plan out my build, remodel, whatever, that, do you find that women do think ahead a bit if they have families, if they have, you know, to, okay, like that situation with the house we were just talking about, a woman, a mom with kids would never buy that house. A family, why would they buy that house? The bedrooms are too small, bar's too big, not exactly the practical setup for a family. Do you see a big difference in whether or not they have that, how far the vision goes between men and women?
Okay, here's how I'll answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that the projects on which I've been associated that have been the most successful, mm-hmm, there isn't an imbalance.
They're both
their concept of home is similar.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that within the client dynamic, you're not trying to adjust, right, for the bachelor sofa that he won't get rid of,
mm-hmm,
right, or the posters that he has to have, right? Right? Or the closet size that she believes she needs, maybe, right? I mean, there's all of these nuances, I think, related to all of that I think are the balance points within the conversation. But again, all of it trying to arrive at whatever everyone's individual calculus is that gives them their answer to the equation of what is home. And I think that's the part that I think we're starting at the Design Coach to really, we're trying to answer that a little earlier and not let the build process to a certain extent reveal it.
Right.
Now that'll happen naturally through your selection process and through your choices. Your aesthetic will naturally lay it out, but in the beginning, reverse engineering the memories, the moments, and the function of the individual rooms is really key.
True.
Especially now with the open floor plan, like when you ask me about the open floor plan, we now know that post-COVID, people are actually like, why are you giving away all of the square footage to a foyer you're never in?
Build the wall.
Well, build the wall, right? Like, start to really divide it and really understand what you have. I mean, very recently, I talked about this concept in an upcoming article about running home. And I remember as a child, we only lived about a mile from my grade school, maximum. And I remember, listen, I grew up in a very modest home in the suburbs of Chicago. We lived in a fairly well-off suburb, but we were not well-off in that suburb. You know, we were the mm-hmm. kids on the other side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have how many kids? Five? What? Right? Like,
that right there.
It's a lot of kids. It's a lot of bodies, right? Four brothers, one room. But I remember specifically every single day I would run home. I was excited to get home. And a lot of it just had to do with what was waiting there for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that it was a creative sanctuary for me. I knew that it was somewhere where I constantly was trying to get back to a project to decorate my corner of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who have not gone to our website and you want to go to like an interesting read, it's just my story of kind of how I call it my origin story.
Aww.
So it's my origin story about why I do what it is that I do. But when we come back from the break, I want to really expound on this concept of like, what does it mean? What does it take to get you that feeling of wanting to run home versus showing up and having it just be like a lifestyle letdown? Let's dig into that when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I think we've all felt that way, Nancy. Don't you?
Yeah. Lifestyle let down.
I love this topic for today. First of all, I'm just like super chill.
You are chill today.
Aren't I?
I'm not sure why.
I think this
makes me nervous.
I know it might. I'm freaking my team out too. And good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. I asked them, I said, what are you noticing a little different about my cadence? Because I was aware of it. I was absolutely aware of it, that I was less excitable. Not less enthused.
Right.
Less excitable, but not less enthused.
You're in observation mode, I feel like.
Do you see my posture right now?
Yes.
Like arms are crossed.
You're sort of uptight.
Am I, though?
I don't know.
There's nothing worse than an uptight Polish-Italian 5'7 guy. That's not going to work. That sounds like Napoleon, is that sounds like. But anyway, getting back to this concept of home and how we try to figure out the calculus. I mean, I talked a little bit about a phrase that I used before the break called the lifestyle letdown.
And remember, we're not, in this particular case, we're not using the word home as a structure.
Mm-mm. Well, we are. I mean, there's some of it that's structure, but a lot of it's not.
Right. But I'm saying that you're talking about the feeling that you wanted to get.
Yeah,
home.
I mean,
and yes, there's encompassed in the four walls. I mean, what's encompassed when in I the tell four you, walls you
when,
wanted to get
when
there?
When I tell you, when the bell rung in second grade, you could not. I was like a horse on a racetrack, like literally, like it was like the gates open and I was off. And when I mean I was running as fast as I could, I would time myself to see if I could beat my quote unquote record, right? From the day before, like I could, and I was jumping over, like I was cutting through backyards. I mean, you remember Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
At the last scene of Ferris Bueller where he's mm-hmm. running through the backyards to kind of get to where he needs to get to. That was like me every day. And I would run to get to this concept of home because I actually really did. I really loved our childhood home. And it wasn't the nicest place. It didn't have the fanciest things. It had enough.
Yeah.
It had more than enough. But the thing that it had the most of is it was filled with my passions. It was filled with something that I looked forward to when I got home. I felt home. And so this lifestyle letdown that I'm talking about, I feel like what we try to do is rather than really like sit down and think about what that means to us, I feel like we sort of inherit other people's lifestyle footprint and then we just sort of live with it. I mean, you closed down a home this week that probably has attributes to it, even though it's an older home, that has attributes of the previous owner that you're going to change.
Yeah.
Could even be definitions of rooms. This is a really big one that I want to tackle on whether mm-hmm. or not you feel like you're on this path to sort of defining your concept of home is whether or not the first is, do you feel like you're living in a mask? Do you feel like you're living in someone else's lifestyle footprint? Do you feel like you're living in a lifestyle footprint that no longer matches your lifestyle? Because life changes. Things change. You know?
Yeah. Kids grow up and leave the house.
I mean, yes,
you don't need that mudroom anymore.
Things change, right? Like,
your own stuff.
You know, what do you do now with all the lockers that we like were convinced everybody needed, right?
Yeah.
For all of the stuff.
Yeah,
in other words, you know, here's what I'm finding. Like some of the best homes that we've designed and that I've seen designed by others have a flexibility to them where the rooms can almost become something different if they needed to.
Sure.
And so the open floor plan that doesn't allow for that has trapped people into the uniroom, what I'm calling like the lifestyle atrium, where you literally feel like you're living in the foyer of like a Wyndham. Okay, like like a hotel. Like there's a dining area over there. There's a bar over there. There happens to be a restaurant with an open kitchen over there. Like right in these massive, cavernous, almost commercial-sized spaces.
It's like the cafe gymatorium at the school.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like and like in order to move that kitchen from where it currently is, like or you're not going to do that, or like even like build partitions might feel like you'd be living in some sort of like lifestyle labyrinth.
Right.
Right? Where you're like, oh, is this a dead end? Or is like, did I build like...
It's a house of mirrors.
It's interesting. And so I feel like there's been this resurgence of people, especially as it relates to at the architectural phase, which is actually rubbing the industry a little bit raw, right? The right size. I mean, listen, you got architects out there now who are charging not only their hourly fee to actually put together the project, but then feel it that they're entitled to, you know, a certain percentage of the build, the cost of the build at the same time.
You mean after they're done doing their job?
Well, they're going to say that they, you know, field support and make sure the builder does their job. Well, if you hire a competent builder, they should be able to interpret the plan. In fact, what we're finding is that it's the combinations of team building within architecture builder, like architect builder, designer, and even automation, mm-hmm. right, that are playing a huge role in the lifestyle and the feel of the home,
sure.
and the utility and the overall feel comes from its overall functional use, and that's not just done by the architect.
Right.
So the builder takes a percentage, the architects take a percentage, right? And then you've got the designers out there giving you, you know, less than transparent pricing at times. So you just feel like you're kind of getting it from all sides. I think if you're when you're in high-end residential, that's a dynamic that you have to deal with.
And it's overwhelming.
Well, especially when it becomes industry standard, right? You know, you want right. the best architects. This is kind of what they do. Feels like a little bit like collusion to me, but it just seems to be the way it goes. So as we give this analysis of the concept of home and kind of like where I want, I think, people thinking is it has to start with defining why you want to come home and the way you want to feel when you are home. And you can feel multiple ways. I mean, you can have a room that's designed around celebration. You can have a room that's designed around retreat. You can have a room that's designed around a specific activity and the way that you want to feel to be able to nurture and recharge. Because I do believe that more than ever, homes are becoming a place that we really need to, like, we are looking to sink into and maybe disappear and only use our computer screens and our phones to be able to sort of interact with the outside world. Like, we're using it as a way to cocoon, maybe.
Safe space, yeah.
Safe space, right? Mm-hmm. And that we're very discretionary now about when we entertain and how. That didn't used to be the case in the 70s. You know, you hear Sebastian Maniscalco, the comedian, talk about, like, when you had company. When people were just in the area, they'd stop on by.
Right.
You know, he jokes all the time about, like, it was called company.
Yeah,
and
we have company. Yeah.
You just have, and people didn't ask if they could come over. Sometimes they just, they sort of knew they were always welcome. So mm-hmm. if it wasn't a good time, it wasn't a good time. But when they did come by, you wanted to actually spend quality time with them. So, like, now he says that same thing happens. You're like, who invited this person over?
Right.
You know, everybody down on the floor, right? Like, did someone make a phone call? You know, like, why is there someone there?
How do they
there?
Know we're here?
Right. Like, you just think it's there's just the...
Like, it's an inconvenience.
Kind of.
And it's not.
And it's not. But listen, it's a different world, and I get that. I'm not opining for that world. What I'm saying is that, you know, as we begin to look at the concept of home and how it's morphed and changed, there are some things that have stayed the same. But the one thing that... And there are some things that are very different. The one thing that has absolutely stayed the same is that it should be intensely personal. In the details of the design and the details of the decoration. But again, we tend to muddy that. How often are we sitting down and saying, am I packing my homes with my passions? Mm-hmm. Or can I just not be bothered because I don't have time? So what you're saying is you don't have time for your passions in your special space. Right? And maybe they're saying, well, my passions are all outside the house. Okay, well, then your concept of home, that's kind of scary.
Is a tent.
Yeah, like maybe you're Joshua Becker and you're like,
oh God.
And you're totally fine, the minimalist. And Joshua's like, you're right. Like, give me a,
go live
yeah,
in a tree house.
Just convert the, you know, the trailer, right? The truck trailer into a house.
Right.
You know, saline torch some windows in, give me a front door. I'm golden. I'll live in a box. Maybe that's it, right? But I think as we continue and we, you know, again, I'm being ridiculous as always, but.
Live in a van down by the river.
Live in a van down by the river, right? I mean, if that's your concept of home, I get it, provided that it's legal, right? That you can actually be there with your van. But I don't know that people are sitting down and really thinking about, especially if you live in an existing house. you know, the tendency here is to sort of dream and to live vicariously through social media.
Yeah.
And then you look at what I'm going to call the lifestyle letdown when you're looking at all your social media and what you wish you had or what you think is going to be better. And then you look past your phone into the reality of your space, mm-hmm. and you're like, you know, that chasm,
yeah,
can be one that leads to a paralysis of innovation and creativity because you can't see the concept of home around your current home's limitations.
It's overwhelming to someone who doesn't know how to do it or doesn't have any part of interior design, build, any of that. Like, it's like if the average person looks around and says, this isn't working for me, but I have no idea how to fix it.
But your first rule of, you know, the first clue I would give you is if you're not surrounded by things that excite you or interest you, that's your first mistake.
True.
If nothing in your interior resonates with you on any level other than like, I could live without it, then why is it in your world?
You have to have something very important to look forward to coming home to.
And listen, it could be, you know, the new thing now is like bookcases that where people actually read.
Oh, right. As long as they're reading.
Right. Like this. Well, but here's the thing, like this move to like get away from the home office. Well, time out. Like, let's define that. Like, we're now seeing that home offices are now being turned into offices because you're not sitting at a desk. You're actually on your laptop, but there's four chairs in the middle that have replaced the desk. And it's more like a reading room, like a mini right. library. See, this is where this conversation eventually needs to go, is we're locked into old definitions. And we tend to just accept the footprint with which we're given, especially when we buy a home. Right? And so I think in the coming segments, what I'd like to talk about is, how do we look at the home differently? How do we maybe look at it from the perspective of a bunch of interconnected canvases and what to do with them? And if you don't even have walls, you don't even have canvases, right? So let's talk about how to really dissect the house to make it a home when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Is this segment 4?
It is.
Oh, in my chillness, I completely lost track of time.
Did you go decaf today, or?
Here's the thing, I didn't, though. I'm just, like, so centered right now. I'm super centered. It's freaking my team out.
It's kind of freaking me out.
It shouldn't, because I've built what I think I wanted to build. Now I just want to use it in as impactful a way as possible. I mean, think about it. I'm super fortunate. I have worked on some amazing projects nationwide. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for the opportunities, and I'm not trying to hoard that as something that I just sort of keep internally, either financially or personally. I'm trying to push it out. I'm trying to say, okay, I've learned all of this. I've seen clients make a ton of mistakes and have a ton of success, and I'm trying to share that in a way that's useful. And that's helpful. This radio show is a huge part of that, Nancy. I mean, I'm super grateful for the opportunity to come out and blather on as a middle child, okay? As a 55-year-old middle child, every Sunday you seem to just continue to let me do it. And I keep showing up and hopefully people find it entertaining. But I think at this juncture with where I'm at mentally is this concept of helping people find home and define it. And then also when you've discovered it, as the relationship with me, as I'm so fortunate with some of these clients, I've had their lives change over 20 years, 20 plus years. I've seen their lives change. Redefine it. So not only define it initially, but then redefine it. That's been really, really a fascinating journey to see houses expand and then contract and how their definition of home changes as they grow through it.
But how do you go about making that happen? That's what you said in the last, in the last break, or in the last seg, that, you know, how do you sit down and figure out what changes you want to make and how to make them?
You have to really look at a space. So let's take it from two spots, right? Let's just take it from the new construction remodel phase.
Okay.
You really have to be intentional with your design, and then you really have to parse out decoration as a separate discipline. And you need to budget for both. You have to budget for the design build, and you got to budget for the decoration. So you're never going to really get there on the build only. What I've learned over the years is that people who have maxed out in the DB and the design build side rarely ever get the space finished the way that they wanted to. They end up either selling it or moving on, or they don't care about it as much anymore. And the decorate, they just sort of lived in this shell.
Yep.
That's what I'm worried about for people in the McMansions, whether it's been ones that have been here in the Midwest in the early 2000s, or whether it's now the coastal McMansion. I mean, listen, all of those homes as giant Key West contemporary homes look the same to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like modern farmhouse was up here, was like big grand coastal contemporary down there.
Right.
I have a very hard time distinguishing between design styles. You know, like there's no ingenuity behind it. There's no originality behind
no
it.
No character.
Well, I mean, it's popular, but there are lots of things that are popular.
Right.
The Ford Taurus was popular. Okay, did that make it, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, there are things that are wildly popular that don't make them, like, you know,
correct.
Well, yeah.
For you.
Well, I'm just saying, like, yeah. Is that your test? Popular? Like, is that what you're going into your, is that the design intention of what means something to you? Is for your concept of home, you're going to lead with it's popular?
Right.
Like, this is what I'm really trying to get at is, I think everybody sells themselves short. And that we're told to assimilate, and that we're told to shed some of our enthusiasm and our passions to be able to be accepted. The sea of sameness has people drowning in it. And the casualty is your unique interior design and your visual signature for your home.
Well,
what gets lost in the sea of sameness,
right,
is personality.
I mean, unique personality. You're right. All those things get completely blown away when you just do the cookie cutter option.
And you look for
and
this.
And you regret it.
You do regret it. Even if you like spent a ton of money on it, you have to sort of choke down the fact that it's gorgeous, but right, maybe not what you really, really wanted deep down.
Right.
But if you never had time to ask yourself the conversation or have the conversation with your design professional, I'm here to tell you, I don't know many architects and I don't know many builders that's where they're living, mm-hmm, is in the space where the design coach is living with, let's talk about your concept of home. Everything from the selections you choose to the decoration, the design build, the lifestyle amenities, the lifestyle use cases, all boils down to your concept of home. Yeah. And in a rush to get the project kicked off, in a rush to define the budget, in a rush to do that, those conversations very often are lost. And then you're trying to have them in the midst of the build.
It's too late.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
So what I don't want people to do is have put themselves at a competitive disadvantage on the design build and the remodel side by not having those conversations early. Let's pivot if you already live in the home. Let's do that. Like, let's pivot to people who already have a house, mm-hmm, right? The amount of people actually engaged in a remodel or a build is less than those who actually live in a home already.
Right.
The limitations of a home are what I find that those are the biggest impediments to people not even dreaming anymore about what they can achieve. The reason I know this is because I've actually been on that side of it, where I've looked at a daunting project within my own homes that I've owned and said, how do I get it to have some semblance of personality, style, risk that fits me and not something else? Mm-hmm. It's been very interesting to see what has happened to the design of the homes that I've sold.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Has it changed? Have they
A lot of people left what I did.
Yeah.
Because it was just so different and so unique. They're like, nah, I don't know. I'm like, they might have repainted it, but the materials for the most part have been left in place. Uh-huh. I think that's a different conversation, but it's not more about me, but it's about like maybe how I've left a space better,
right,
than when I found it.
Exactly.
And I think that's what I want. That's the lens with which I want you sort of to sort of finish the show with is, your home is a series of interconnected canvases, and you can do whatever you want to them. And sometimes the answer is furniture. Sometimes the answer is built-in. Sometimes the answer is pattern. Sometimes the answer is color. Sometimes the answer is art. Sometimes the answer is nothing. Like, I just want it to be nothing. Because in this room, I just want to not be influenced by other things. I just want it to be nothing. And if that's the design intent, then that's fine. But have the conversation. We are influenced by so many things that tell us what they think we should be. Instead of really saying, as an artist, because everyone has that artist buried in them. It's in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was the kid with the crayon that didn't care. It was nobody telling you to grab that color. Right?
Right.
That's why color of the year bothers me. Stop telling me it's plum or gold or yellow or red. There's too many great colors out there to enjoy in whatever your percentage is for you to tell me what you think I need to be. There is this resurgence of the individual that I think, I love that I think it's been exacerbated by social media. Remember when I said to you, trends are coming in and out even faster than they have been because we...
Well, it's just because we can communicate immediately.
But we also are subject to so much of it via algorithm that we tire of it so much faster.
That's what I was going to say. We also get tired of it quicker.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're going to be left with this like, oh, God, I've seen it all.
I want to do something different.
And then so that all you're left with is to do something different, which inherently I believe is in the calculus buried within your creative DNA. What I think designers are going to have to get really good at moving forward, and which I think we're already exceptional at the Design Coach, is helping you figure out your design DNA.
Right.
Your design DNA. And your design DNA is made up of a million different like molecules of materials and magic, right? And what does that calculus look like? I mean, especially when it comes to value, right? Because if you're not right now thinking of design in terms of design and decoration, like your concept of home, you have to break it apart. And the world wants you to combine it. Design, you have to do at the time you're shaping spaces. Decoration, you can do over time. And in fact, there's a lot of bridges there.
Right.
Between design and decoration. Lighting is one of them. One of the common misnomers that I see where people miss is storage. They feel like they need to build out a million closets. And then I'll go back to projects where they fought me on closet, 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 closet. And I go back and there's nothing in them.
Right.
Because I know, listen, you're laughing, but so are people on the radio on the other side of this mic right now. Because they know it's true. And you filled,
you filled it with junk.
Like you had to have all these closets. And you're like, I need to declutter. And it's like, well, if you wouldn't have built so many closets, maybe you would have decluttered faster. Or even worse, you didn't really need it. Because I can sometimes achieve in one room, rather than additional built-in cabinetry, I can do it with a buffet.
Yeah.
I can do it with a large piece of furniture.
I've never seen an empty closet. Unless I was moving. Like, I've never had an empty closet.
But I'll give you an example of that. Yeah. You know what's classic on that? Second homes.
Oh, yeah?
Lake homes, right? Oh, I need to have closets, 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 closets. And it's interesting.
But you just visit there.
Well, that's the thing. Like, how big does the closet need to be? And by the way, if you offer too much closet space, how long are they staying?
Right.
I mean, I hear that too.
Right.
Like, they just moved in. Well, you built a big closet.
Right.
You set them up with a suite. Why would they leave? Like, why would they go back to their postage stamp in the city
when I'll this is what you're Nancy, offering? Right? Like, to leave.
And so, listen, I'm not disparaging it one way or the other. What I'm actually trying to highlight is, you know, really putting in the intentional thought into the shaping of the space and then really coming up with the plan and the trajectory for great decoration. We're starting to do something very interesting as it relates to my concept that I'm finishing the show with, which is looking at your home as a series of canvases. If you have a uniroom and it's frustrating you, it's probably because you don't have enough canvases. You don't have enough dividers to give individual rooms an identity to then really figure out how the lifestyle purpose is different from room to room. If you're eating and drinking and trying to create a sanctuary in the same space, there's chaos in kitchens. There's chaos at bars. And so if your space in your living room, as it's adjacent to that, has no definition or no separation.
You also never get a change of scenery.
Yeah, you never get a change of scenery.
You're so, just in the one room.
So I want to encourage everyone this weekend, as you think about 2025 and what home means to you in the new year, really think about the available canvases, not for the limitations that they currently have or that you see, but try to think of them as new possibilities and dream and reverse engineer from there. Anyway, I hope you find your concept of home. Thank you for dialing in here and listening on this Sunday morning. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.